Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Dive Into Diet. It's actually a special edition. If you're watching on YouTube, you can tell that Lucas and I are in different spots. It's he's visiting family for Thanksgiving, and I'm doing. I'm actually home right now, but I'm gonna be doing the same. So, Lucas, man, first of all, happy holidays. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well. Thank you. I wish I had a handheld mic so I could do like a reporter. I'm live on site here at a Thanksgiving holiday, which I am not. It's not Thanksgiving yet, but I'm at my grandparents in Catlin, Illinois. So I'm in their living room in front of their bay window.
Shout out to Catlin I guess it's somewhere. What is Catlin close to?
Catlin is 30 minutes from U of I.
Okay, so near Champaign.
Yeah, in Champaign, Urbana area. You know your Illinois geography.
That's right.
The Catlin is a metropolis of about 500 people. So it's great for the witness protection program. So it's a very nice town, though. It's very quiet, which I like. So.
Well, man, we're so lucky to get to do this with you today. And I'm going to be super conscientious of your time. I want you to be able to spend as much time with your family this week as possible. But we've been kind of texting back and forth about some things we can talk about that would be helpful to our listeners on the Performance Medicine Channel and of, you know, the Dive Into Diet show in particular. I think we're talking a little bit about how to navigate these holidays nutritionally.
Yes, nutritionally, lifestyle, mostly nutrition, yeah. Okay. Holidays tend to have this negative reputation when it comes to trying to eat healthy or maintain, say particular those who already have an established healthy routine. You know, we eat clean, we avoid junk food. If you've got that all worked out, sometimes holidays can be a big stressor for people. Now, on the other end, holidays is something everybody looks forward to because they just go ham and eat ham and among other things. Junk food pies, particularly, hot chocolate. I'm trying to think of staples at Thanksgiving or Christmas particularly. Those two, I would say, aside from maybe Easter, would be your big meal holidays. I know there's some probably Middle Eastern holidays that emphasize certain types of food celebrations. So there's usually in most cultures, there's a holiday where food is kind of a big deal. And yeah, you're sort of expected if you're with family to just throw whatever dietary restrictions you have to the wind and eat what is presented to you. Yep. So what I want to talk about is some ways we can navigate that. I will say my personal philosophy, and if you've been in an appointment with me, you may have heard this, not everybody, but when I usually assign goals to patients, nutritional goals, when we're trying to make changes and we sign a date to them, I will not typically put a date for a nutritional change close to or during a holiday. Lifestyle modification is really difficult to do in an out of the ordinary time. A holiday is a one a year kind of deal. It's not practical to change things in the middle of Christmas time or Thanksgiving. You'll feel pressure from your family for starters. You're going to get a lot of questions. Why aren't you eating this and that? Why aren't you? And some people are fine with it, but most of the time that's just added stress. You don't really need to do that. And it could interfere with your progress because you'll have a negative association with the change, and we don't need that. I'm all about adherence, right? I'd rather make tiny changes in nutrition that are easy to do, that you can do forever, as opposed to upend your whole lifestyle and you're exhausted after 2 weeks and you quit. And then it's wasted time. So my philosophy with holidays usually is, that was a long way of saying, I actually think it's pretty fine for most people to just eat whatever on Thanksgiving Day. Take a break for yourself. It's totally acceptable. The exceptions to that would be if you're like a type 1 diabetic or you're type 2 diabetic, and you take enough insulin or you take your metformin, you could probably get away with a meal, but you're going to agitate those, you know. But those people know, generally those people know what to do. That's kind of a Or if you have a food allergy, right? Maybe if you're lactose intolerant, we don't pour milk in the mashed potatoes and eat as much as possible. Maybe that's a bad idea. We could substitute milk for something else. Yeah. So there's just some small groups of people who obviously shouldn't ignore medical specifications for their food. But most people, it's you can afford to enjoy yourself on Thanksgiving or Christmas. Or Easter, or whatever holiday is nearby. Thanksgiving happens to be nearby right now. But let's move past that. If you decide, no, I do want to eat some of the crap or some of the unhealthy food, but what are some ways I can make it less damaging to my nutritional goals? Okay, what are things I can do to keep the day from being a total loss? Okay, so my number one recommendation is if you already have a regular exercise routine, particularly strength training, that's where I lean anyway in most exercise as a trainer. I think it's overall the best kind of exercise you can do is muscle building, like weightlifting, calisthenics, things like that. Excuse me. You can try to mitigate the damage of your unhealthy meal. You can try to schedule one of your workouts before it or after it, preferably before it though. So like Thanksgiving Day, you could go to the gym, schedule your workout at the gym, or if you work out at home, whatever, make it an extra hard day. Then you'll be ready to eat whatever. You'll be extra hungry. That doesn't mean you're going to overindulge. If anything, you've put yourself in a caloric deficit by working out extra hard, lifting extra heavy. Make it a heavy day. For those of you weightlifters who already have a routine, you would know what that means. And if you don't know what that means, we have a few podcasts about strength training we've already put out. Make it a heavier day, a muscle building day, and take advantage of the extra calories you're going to be eating. Now, that doesn't mean you could do that all the time outside of holidays. Well, why wouldn't I just, you'll get fat if you do that. But you could consider it a bulking day, right? Okay, I'm going to be eating excess calories. Some of them aren't going to be the best form. I'm going to have a sugar spike, etc. You could try to maximize that and at least make yourself feel better by saying, well, I lifted heavy weight today. I'm at least taking advantage of the caloric surplus to build a little extra muscle. It's not going to be magic. You're not going to be jacked after one Thanksgiving meal, but it is one way to sort of justify to yourself if you're a fitness person, well, I worked out really hard today. I'm going to take advantage of the muscle building advantage of caloric surplus, extra calories. And that's one thing you can do. Some people have the mentality with holidays, it's a holiday. I'm not working out. I'm not working. I'm not doing anything. And that's okay. But this is one thing you can do if it's about the food to sort of mitigate that damage. You can actually, while some of the food is unhealthy, you're still in a caloric surplus. And for those of you in a bulking phase of your strength training, that's an advantage. So there's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do that I think a lot of people don't think about is you can compensate in the week around the event. So Thanksgiving is a Thursday. That means what you could do in anticipation or following is take the tiniest fraction, minute amount of your portions throughout the week, lower them. And I don't mean enough to where you're even going to notice. Maybe you cut, if I had to do it in measurements, it's a difference of a fourth and a third cup of something, like whatever the serving is. Okay. So say you eat a third cup of rice with chicken. You do a fourth cup of rice with your chicken. Make an even smaller than that, tiny amounts of subtracting the amount of food you're eating from your meals in the week around it. Then you're not even going to, you're calorically throughout the week, you're not going to notice a difference in weight gain or loss. You're not going to, that day of junk eating isn't going to kill you. Okay. Now that takes a little more discipline and a little more work, in my opinion, than the exercise routine. You could do both. But again, this is for people who really want to take steps to enjoy their Thanksgiving meal, but also try to mitigate the damage that they're going to be doing. So what that basically means is put yourself in a very mild caloric deficit throughout the week so that when you hit your Thanksgiving or Christmas day, and you go in a huge surplus, the numbers balance out and you're even and it doesn't change anything. So that's That's one method of mitigating damage of a crazy holiday. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that, Lucas. And also, like, this is you mentioned before just sustainability and how, when you're coaching clients, you like to go towards things that are sustainable. And what you're saying is something that you can do all year round, I feel like. If you know, like, there's a birthday party where there's going to be pizza there, you can kind of build your week around that. You can, put your longer workout on that day. And I love that with both of those strategies, I think are super helpful. And our listeners can kind of decide, okay, what's more sustainable for me in particular? Is it more difficult for me to kind of go on a caloric deficit the rest of the week versus, just work out a little harder on Thanksgiving Day? Or so I love that. I think that's perfect.
Great. The other thing I meant to mention in that vein is the caloric deficit. You can also employ some time restricted eating or fasting. Some people already do that, but oddly enough, if you were to fast in the Thanksgiving day leading up to the big meal, you're actually not going to be able to eat as much in the actual meal. Your stomach, if it's your first meal particularly, you're not going to be able to eat as much. So that's another built-in. Now, I want to eat a lot on Thanksgiving, but that is another thing you could try. You're just that first meal is going to be a shock. You just won't be, your stomach will kind of shrink a little bit if it's not eaten. The metabolism hasn't worked, hasn't had to do any caloric burning. So that's another small thing you can do. It's pretty easy to do. Depends on the timing of that meal, of course. Some families eat at lunchtime, some more closer to dinner. So you just have to navigate that per your family schedule. So now let's talk about some specific nutritional modifications. So what we talked about is general modifications, specific. So these are things, a couple things you can alter the meals. Now, like I said earlier, I'm going to caution you, don't experiment on Thanksgiving too much. So I only chose a few things that I don't actually think will change the food taste or the texture. The people, if they didn't know you did this, may not even notice you've done it. Okay, so I'm very cautious with this. Listen, I made this mistake before at Thanksgiving. I was like, no, I'm going to cook this healthy thing for everybody, and it was terrible, and I got in trouble. So don't experiment on Thanksgiving. One thing you can do is if there's like a sweet beverage. So I'm thinking Christmas time actually in this regard. Hot chocolate to in my family is a huge deal at Christmas time. That's a common thing.
And I will
Simply
say,
what?
you make the best hot chocolate I've ever had.
Thank
And
you.
if you, I'll have to link that in the description below. But we did a video with
Oh
you
yeah, that's
around
right.
hot chocolate. Yeah,
Yes, we
phenomenal.
did. Okay. So there are tons of healthier hot chocolate recipes out there, DIYs on YouTube. Of course, we've done it here at Performance. There's all kinds of resources available. The big crucial ingredient in a sugar-friendly, low-sugar version is monk fruit. Liquid monk fruit is the best thing you can use. It's like $12 on Amazon right now. It's a little bottle, liquid monk fruit, 300 servings. So it's like tons of it. That is an ingredient you'd want to have. You can use that to make particular hot chocolate, but if you wanted to make like cream cheese icing, these are, I'm trying to think of things that you would use it, homemade whipping cream for your pie. You can use that instead of sugar, and it doesn't mess with the consistency of those things. Cream cheese whips up whether there's sugar in it or not. Hot chocolate doesn't require sugar for stability. So you cannot use monk fruit to bake with as a substitute because it doesn't. The granulated sugar maintains the structural integrity of your dessert. So you don't want to mess with that. However, you could use, and we've done this in cooking classes at Performance Medicine, you can use allulose as a substitute for sugar, 100% substitute. I've made pecan pie with it. It's really good. It doesn't really change the consistency. You can make caramel with allulose. So certain desserts that are staples at Thanksgiving, you can completely substitute sugar for allulose. Allulose is a natural. It is a naturally occurring type of sugar that we can't properly digest. So we taste sugar and it holds that texture of sugar and it bakes like sugar, but it doesn't digest or absorb into our bloodstream. The caveat with allulose is a massive dose of it. We're talking a huge dose will cause some bloating or gas or diarrhea because of the digestive. So you want to be cautious with that. but you have to eat quite a bit. So that is a substitute you can make. Another warning about aiolos is it's expensive.
Yeah.
But if you're wanting a glycemic friendly pecan pie, you substitute all the sugar for aiolos and you should be able to cook the recipe just as normal. No other modifications needed. So that's another good one. Let's see. I made some notes here. Oh, if you're in a group family, sometimes usually there's like two people or three that handle all the cooking and everybody else like waits, right? Depending on how large your family is. If you are concerned about the nutrition, you could offer to help cook some of the food. Yeah. Now, aunts and uncles or whoever's in charge of Thanksgiving is usually very protective of those dishes. They're like, don't you? So you want to follow their instructions. But just doing that will give you a better idea of what you're actually eating in the future. And so maybe that could turn into an interest on helping and modifying these recipes on your own. It just depends. Be careful what tree you're barking up. Don't bark up grandma's tree about her pecan pie. You know, don't mess with that. Depends on your family dynamic. But in mine, I got to be, you don't want to screw up Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Proceed with caution.
Proceed with caution on that one. But it is a good way to learn. And also to learn what's being used. If you do already cook the food, one thing I think is a hidden nutritional red flag in a lot of holiday dishes is casseroles. And the reason casseroles are hard is because most of them call for like canned condensed soups, okay? You see like a green bean casserole or a broccoli casserole, most of the time there's usually cream of mushroom soup or some kind of condensed soup that's called for. Condensed soups are where a lot of poor nutrition happens. There's a lot of bad ingredients in those things. A lot of hydrogenated oils, a lot of artificial flavorings and things like that. My primary concern is trans fats and you know, vegetable oils and things like that that we add that are unnecessary. They don't actually require those to make the casserole good. It does require a little extra work, but my advice would be to say a recipe calls for Campbell's cream of mushroom, which is very common. Look at the ingredients of the Campbell's cream of mushroom. Figure out, and it's easy to figure out. I can tell you probably the reason it calls for that is because it has some type of cream in it, maybe a little cheese or chicken broth or something like that. You can buy those ingredients separately and do it yourself. You don't have to buy a Campbell's condensed cream of mushroom soup. And the sad thing is Campbell's cream of mushroom probably 30 years ago, 50 years ago, was just those ingredients. It was probably cream, some mushroom, and maybe that was it. Maybe some onion cooked in there. But as they have, a lot of these companies have changed their formulas without telling people. You know, the same thing for like mayonnaise. You know, what's the most famous mayo brand?
Heinz
has a mayo. That's a brand. But there's a couple famous brands. Their recipes have slightly changed over the years. So they've swapped out for cheaper ingredients. You know, mayo used to be just whipped eggs and vinegar and some sugar and salt. If maybe not even sugar, but if you look at the ingredients, Wellman's is another one. Or Hellman's, one of them. You look at their ingredients. They have changed. They've added corn syrup and a lot of other additives to these pure, they're not pure. They've added stuff, hydrogenated oils. So, and that's the same for condensed soups. I have a huge problem with condensed soups. Unnecessary amounts of salt. You can salt your food after you cook it, unless you're baking. So those are small things. That's a little bit more nitpicky though. So just word to the wise, that's gonna take you some more time, but that is something you can do and still have your casserole and it still tastes great. Is to try to come up with your own base instead of a cream of mushroom that you've bought. So let's move on to the more extreme cases and we're getting to the end of this. So for those of you who are like, okay, I'm going to do all of those things, but I want to go further. I still want to like, I don't want to feel any effects. You're still probably going to feel a little bit of effect from a junk day, but there are a few supplements that you can try and mitigate the damage. And again, this is for those of you who are like going extreme. Okay. I want to give that to you. And supplements are not magic. Just because you take these supplements I'm going to list doesn't mean your blood sugar isn't going to go up a little bit extra from pecan pie. Okay. This is like a 1-2% improvement from these supplements. Okay. I want to be very honest about how impactful they are. Okay. But I like to inform you, they could help. Caffeine. typically in the form of coffee, is an appetite suppressant. So you consume some caffeine before this big meal, you might not eat as much or overindulge. Caffeine could also increase your core temperature temporarily, which will burn a few extra calories. Nothing crazy, just a few. Okay, we're like 10 to 100 calories maybe, which is in the drop of the Thanksgiving bucket is tiny. But it is something, okay? Next is capsaicin, which is what makes spicy food spicy. Capsaicin is a chemical in hot peppers. Some research indicates you take capsaicin in a pill form, it will raise your core temperature for 30-ish minutes. Okay, now I've taken capsaicin pills before just to see what would happen. You do feel warm. You will sweat. Like it will make you break out in a sweat because you're warm. So you should be aware of that. Also, if you take it on an empty stomach, you could have burning in your stomach. So better to take it right before a meal and then put food in there. I'm not suggesting everybody go out and buy hot pepper pills before their Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. This is, like I said, this is the extreme measures we're taking at this point. It will raise your core temperature temporarily, which, again, will result in some caloric burn. It also could appetite suppress you just a little bit. So there is that. Chromium picolinate. Chromium is an essential mineral, and it's one of its primary functions in the body is blood sugar regulation. So it can slightly improve or assist with insulin resistance, which those of you who struggle with high carb diets, you know, that's something you're craving all the time. If you have pre-diabetes or insulin resistance, taking chromium picolinate one time a day, you know, you'd want to talk to your doctor about the dosage size. Since it is a mineral, you can take too many minerals. But chromium picolinate has been shown to improve insulin sensitivity a little bit. Again, we're not talking like metformin levels, but it can help you. And then the other is berberine, which Dr. Rogers talks about berberine a lot. It's nicknamed nature's metformin. I'm not a physician, by the way. I'm not saying it will substitute your metformin if you're a type 2 diabetic, but berberine can inhibit the absorption of some sugars, thereby preventing a blood sugar spike. So these are some supplements you could try. Most of them you would take before your meal or with it. The final one, this is incredibly extreme. I'm going to say that again. This is extreme measures, okay? You shot with Robin today as well?
We're getting ready.
You're getting ready. Okay. Robin's the peptide expert, but I'm going to do a quick shout out to peptides. Yeah. She knows more about them than I do. But there are a lot of bodybuilding peptides, which particular effect is to make you leaner. Okay. They stimulate, I'm talking about the growth hormone secretagogues like sirmorelin, ipamorelin, GHRP6, CJC1295. Those are the ones I'm thinking of off the top of my head. Any of those will have most likely a small you'll lean down. There's a leaning effect that happens when you use those. Now that typically takes more than a day, but if you're on a peptide, you may notice it. Say you decided to start peptides with a strength training routine, which I encourage if you're going to take a growth hormone peptide, that you be in a weightlifting routine. Otherwise you're kind of missing out on a huge component of it. But say you've been on them for 2 months and this is your first time ever using them, and you go to Thanksgiving, you've never had a Thanksgiving on a peptide, you may notice that you don't gain, you know, that little extra fat that you maybe normally expect to see when you finish a holiday season. And that's because when you're taking growth hormones, secretagogues, a natural side effect is the loss of body fat mass, an increase in lean tissue and a loss in body fat mass. Part of that's just because you've gained muscle, and muscle burns fat. Okay, right. There are other reasons. There's probably a caloric need for growth hormone. It's, you know, it's an expensive hormone to make in the body. So, and then usually it's in response to stress of training. So there's it's sort of a complicated reason. But if you're really in the extreme, now warning: if you take a ipamorelin or GHRP6, those affect ghrelin, which makes you hungrier. So typically those are taken to make you hungry so you can eat more to gain more muscle. So don't think, oh, I'm going to take ipamorelin on Thanksgiving Day and I won't eat as much. You'll eat more because it makes you hungry. But again, all of those, and Robin can speak to them much better than I can, will, could, I should say, could, cause you to lean down a little bit more. So that is, but my number one, just to recap, my number one record, these were kind of in order of what I would suggest doing them in that order. Exercise is your best thing. If you, it's best to have some form of exercise going on. I'm not saying you have to get up at 6 in the morning on Thanksgiving and go for a 12-mile run. Ideally, you do a little strength training on Thanksgiving, and preferably a little heavier if you're already in a routine. And I think that's going to give you the best bang for your buck. But there are other ways to mitigate the damage. So I hope this is. You have any questions for me? I just rambled on for a long time.
No, that's phenomenal. One thing was as you're talking, I'm like, with my setup right now, I can't take down notes. I hope for the people who are watching or listening, they were able to take down some notes because there's so many gems in there. Just to touch on the peptide part, is there particular ones? Because you said definitely don't do the epimorlin, because it's going to make you more hungry.
Well, I wouldn't say definitely don't do it. I just like to
Okay.
give a warning that you will. I've taken epimorlin before, and I've taken GHRP6 to try them. GHRP6 particularly, because I think its only function is to increase. I could be wrong. Robin will know, but I'm fairly certain its primary function is to secrete ghrelin, the hunger
Okay.
hormone. Which inadvertently will cause some growth, but I know I'm like ravenous in 15 minutes after injection. Like it works quickly. That doesn't mean you'll overeat, right? Once you start eating, that kind of goes away. So, but yeah, if you were looking for a peptide, I would probably lean on like sirmorelin first. It's a more gen it's kind of a nice, well-rounded one, and it doesn't cause, to my knowledge, the hunger spike that the other ones might.
Now, for you in particular, heading into a Thanksgiving dinner or a Christmas dinner, I'm kind of hearing that you're not putting any restrictions on you, where, because I know you typically, have a pretty strict diet, but on these holidays, during the time that we're in now with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, you're not one to put restrictions. You're one to kind of work around those the way that we talked about today.
No, that's very accurate. I to me, for adherence to a clean eating lifestyle, it's important to have I hate to say not take it seriously because it's incredibly important to eat healthy, but not don't take yourself too seriously in that you can never have fun. If you never have fun, but you look great, you'll just look great and be miserable. And that to me is not a worthy trade-off. So I don't know, there are always exceptions, but I don't know if most people who one Thanksgiving meal is going to absolutely destroy their whole life. Now, I've given the examples of the people who need to be cautious about that, medical patients and things like that, but they know that information generally. The only changes I try to make at Thanksgiving is I try to avoid certain foods that bother me, like pure milk kind of bugs me a little bit, bugs my gums. It's the whey protein. And so I try to be careful about that. But as far as like sugar and nutritional, just general nutrition, I kind of, last night I got here. And my grandma had made these peanut butter fudgy delicious bar things, and I ate three of them, four of them, five, six, I don't know how many. I got, when you're out of town, particularly, it's I think psychologically better for most people just be at peace with the fact that you're going to eat some junk food, and the main thing is to not let it be an excuse to continue that food eating past the holiday. That's not an excuse. And also, the other thing I wanted to mention was a holiday is a, to me, it's what, be careful what you classify as a holiday. Again, that can turn into an excuse to eat garbage all year.
It could be Saturday. Saturday's the
Right.
holiday.
Saturday could be, yeah. No, for me, let me give you my criteria. It's general, okay? Because there's always exceptions, I guess. But your birthday, my birth, like my own birthday. That happens once a year. Christmas or Hanukkah, that's a one time a year thing. Now, Hanukkah is a long holiday. You pick one day in Hanukkah. Okay. Thanksgiving. The holidays I don't consider in this category would be like President's Day, Earth Day.
Yeah.
Please spare me,
What
okay?
about July 4th? Because that's a
That
tough
could
one.
go either
It's
way. Okay,
okay.
that's a good one. That could go. I think that falls in the category, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's debatable. You kind of get my point. It's like
Yeah.
there's a few big ones that most people celebrate, or maybe you could have a quota. I have four holidays a year I can eat crap on, okay? And you fill that quota with whatever. That's going to be more neutral to everybody. The last thing I meant to mention, I just forgot it. I saw it in my notes, and I think it's a good one. In the nutritional side, one thing you could do that's small is like on Thanksgiving, I'm thinking particularly, or Christmas, where there's usually a meat dish that's sort of the centerpiece of the meal. Eat a little more of that. Like, maybe eat some of the protein up front at the top of the meal instead of going for all the sides first. That's going to fill you up and you're not going to eat as much of the sides. You can still eat the sides. I'm just saying, eat more of the protein. Lean into the protein of the meal. It could be beans, it could be whatever the protein source of the meal is. That's another thing you can do that's really easy. You don't have to cook, you don't have to change anything other than just get a little more of that. That's a small thing you can do, but it might have a big impact on your meal. Is just fill up a little more of your plate with the protein of the meal. And that's something I didn't want to forget to say. And that
No,
one's like the
that's
least
a big deal.
management one you have to do. You just grab a little more of something when you go through the buffet line, the family buffet line. So.
Luca Schmidt, man, this has been incredible. Thank you
Oh,
so
good.
much for doing this. And is there anything else we need to go over before we say we're off for Thanksgiving?
I don't think so. I think let yourself enjoy your Thanksgiving. That's important. Spend time with your family, your loved ones, friends, whoever.
And for the people, because I do believe this is going to be published post Thanksgiving,
Sure.
so
It
these
applies
all
to
these
Christmas.
this applies for all of December, and really for any holiday, as Lucas was mentioning. So I hope this helps so many of you. And Lucas, one, happy Thanksgiving, since we're recording before Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
And please send my love to your family up there in Candon,
Catlin, close.
Catlin,
Catlin.
Illinois.
Yes.
Please let them know how much I appreciate them letting you do this with me today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, man. Look forward to seeing you in person real soon, and we'll talk to you soon, guys. Thank y'all for hanging out with us on Dive Into Diet. Lucas, thank you for being you as always, man. Don't go away.